We can't. I mean, we could talk about it. No.
I mean, you could be like fucking keyboard warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what, you know who, dang, Big Mouth in the UFC, what's his name? I forget his name.
Connor?
Not Ian? Connor, the tall, lanky black dude, he fights at like 170.
Oh, Kevin Holland.
Kevin.
Kevin
My
Holland.
G, yeah, yeah.
I love how he used to fucking like, you want to talk shit? Oh, we're recording?
Yeah, we're recording, but I can't hear you.
Yeah, I love how Kevin Holland used to be like, if you want to talk shit, like, here's my gym, pull up. And there was like 4 weeks where people actually came and got fucked up and it just stopped.
I'm going to do that now. I'm like, okay, if you want to show up, here's my gym, pull up. I mean, flights to LA are cheap.
I mean, here's the thing. We've been saying like pull up to our gyms for like what?
How our long bosses.
Now? And to our bosses. Ain't nobody pulled up. Ain't nobody pulled up. I think like one time, and this happened to be a week that like I wasn't informed of it. But other than that, ain't nobody pulled up.
Well, I mean, you have the gatekeepers out front there, like event staff.
Oh, yeah, they stopped me quick, too. They're like, where are you coming from? I was like, I'm trying to go to Forge. They're like, there's no Forge here.
Forge where? Do you just see the sign?
Yeah. First off, shout out Coach Alex for letting us film today. But they have like a car show or something going on.
Oh.
So we like, since these businesses are going to be open and we're going to have open mat later, we got to make sure we have this space open. So
you're not having people. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Now that explains the amount of like old cars that I've been seeing going up the 405 coming here. Okay.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're little nice old, like old timey cars. Yeah.
Are you a car girl?
I'm not.
Okay.
I just observe.
Okay. I figured like if I had to guess, like I know what you drive, but I feel like you're like a S-Class Mercedes girl.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, actually.
That's actually a great compliment.
No, my next car is definitely going to be a Benz because I was told that's the bougie Asian auntie car.
Okay.
So I'm going to really lean into that.
You are a bougie Asian.
Now that you say something, I do see a lot of, you know, Asian women in Mercedes.
Wait, what? I thought you were, Thai Asian? Please forgive me.
I'm half Southeast Asian, half Mexican.
Okay.
But
oh.
The bougie aunties be rolling in the Benz or the BMWs and Acuras and stuff.
You know, I realized the other day, because now I'm kind of looking for cars too, I have like an old grandpa tasting car. I love hatchbacks and like the Subaru Outback is like the car I've wanted for years and it's so fucking bleh.
It's not a grandpa taste. It is old school taste.
Yeah. Or
a throwback.
Isn't it the lesbian car? That's what they say, right?
I'll be a
lesbian. Subaru.
I'll be a
Subaru.
Lesbian. I do have a Subaru, but only because I don't have a choice. It's the legacy. It's more the old lady one, but whatever.
I have to say, probably my dream car is. Have you ever seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah.
Eleanor. The 1967 GT Mustang.
That is a nice car.
That's my dream car. Along with, I want to get another S2000. In my youth, I had an S2000, and that was my vibe. But now, yeah, I'm rocking a Scion XB, baby. Hatchback.
Hatchback life. Nice. Love it.
Yeah. DJ, you have some news. I'm hype about this. Lizzie, you don't even know this, so I think
I told Lizzie.
You did?
Yeah. It just kind of came, like, randomly. I have nothing else to do in life right now, so I was like, I might as well compete.
Yay, join us.
One of us. No, I was just talking to Jimmy, and Jimmy was like, because whenever I first got back to training, like fresh out of everything we just talked about and like the surgery, I was not there. Like, I was there, but I was not there.
Yeah.
So Jimmy was like a fucking fly in your face. Like, he would not go away. He's like, you need to compete. You need to get that fire back. You need to compete.
That's when you have Jessica come and be like, hey, Jimmy, shh.
Jess was on his side.
Oh, shit, really?
Jess was like, no, yeah.
Well, now you have, you know, two voices in your face telling you to do it, so.
Yeah, well, I did the Muay Thai class, and have you ever seen that episode where SpongeBob and Patrick are stuck in Sandy's house and Patrick's, like, crawling around? He's like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's how I felt in the Muay Thai class. And I was like, I need to get my fire back. So I figured competing's probably the way to do it, because I know if I win, it's going to come back anyway.
Yeah.
If I get my ass kicked, it's definitely coming back anyway. So yeah. I figured, why not? Why not jump in?
Well, I'm hype. I'm hype that, like, it's like, It's been, I'm mad we're like not doing it at the same school and like we're not able to go into like battle as brothers, but we still there, bro. We still there.
Look, dude, it's been 2 years, bro. I don't want to like get your hopes up or nothing, because I've seen what my roles have been like lately. The first two, cool. If there's a third round, fuck, dude.
Get the cardio up. What are you doing?
Exactly. I've been doing the bike and jump rope and the Muay Thai class.
Oh, yeah.
But it just comes slow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're 3 weeks out. Countdown begins.
3 weeks out and decided on Monday that I'm doing
it. Three weeks out and I got 20 pounds to cut.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we don't do that in order.
Cut way like a Neanderthal. Here we go. Yes.
I didn't want to. I've been saying, I'm just going to, every competition I say the same exact thing. All right, I'm not going to let myself go after comp.
20 it's pounds lie. Later.
20, 30 pounds later. It's like,
lie detector, test determined.
Yeah, I can be disciplined with coming to jiu-jitsu. I can't be disciplined with my diet. I got to fix that.
Diet is really hard. Yeah.
Why do you think so?
Because, I mean, if you have a sweet tooth, mm-hmm. just like me, it can be really hard to resist. But, you know, now that I live by myself, I can actually, like, you know, plan my own meals, do my own grocery shopping. I'm less inclined to buy those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your sweet of choice?
Oh, my God. What isn't my sweet of choice? I love donuts, and I had to resist the temptation to not bring donuts this morning because I passed by Yummy Donuts.
Thank you.
And I saw that it had a Thai boba tea out there, and I'm like, okay, I know this place is legit.
Thank you for not bringing the donuts.
I know. I knew you were in comp, and I'm in like comp mode too, so you know, we really have to like refine our diet.
It's funny because I don't have a sweet tooth. Like mine is like barbecue. Like I just love like barbecue, any type of like Midwest style like cooking. And then like in terms of sweets, it's these, dude. I drink sweet drinks all fucking day. Yeah. All day. Gatorades, Red Bulls, not Monsters because those are trash.
there's a mango juice Monster that is actually really good. And
so it's not the taste, dude. One time I was doing deliveries in when I was living in Vegas, and it's the first and only time I had anxiety, but I had too many that I could like should have drank. Okay. But the anxiety attack that it gave me, I pulled over, I called my boss, I snitched on myself and got ran up because he's like, you're off route. I was like, honestly, I pulled over for a salad break.
See, that's the problem with energy drinks. You have too much and it's like your heart's beating, you're anxious, like why am I afraid?
Yeah.
Why am I scared? Yeah, right now
nothing was going on. I was parked in a parking lot and like it just I thought the world was over. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, my God.
Never drink a Monster again.
You know, you're speaking of bringing in donuts, right?
Yeah.
It made me think about Gabby. She brought in pastries the other night. And, like, this whole room, we had, like, pastries over there on the desk. This whole table was filled with boxes of pastries. And I was like, wait, cut.
I don't need it.
And I actually was going to go in and I saw like the cinnamon one I wanted. I was like, okay, we're going to get that. You know what? I'm just going. I went to the bathroom, came back. It was gone. Oh, I was like,
oh. I think that's a sign.
Yeah. It was a sign from the universe.
Was it the apple fritter?
No, it's just like it looks like a cinnamon roll is what it looks like. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask both of you guys, since we're all competing now, what do you think is like, I can't even get my word out right now. What do you think is like the biggest thing that you've learned through your competitions in the past that have on the mat that have helped you in your journey?
Discipline.
Okay.
Yeah. Discipline. And a lot of it for me is mental. I kind of have to go into it, you know, in a good headspace, making sure I'm hyping myself up, making sure I have just enough belief or delusion in myself to be able to get through it.
Okay.
And I say delusion because it really is, delusional of me.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, I'm a firm believer that anybody on any day can achieve anything they really desire to do.
So. If they're delusional enough.
I mean, okay, delusion or confidence? Where's the line, right?
Sometimes confidence starts in delusion.
Yes.
You know, but truthfully, I don't compete a lot. Mm-hmm. But in my past competitions, I've always been extremely anxious. And it sounds weird. What I've learned the most is how I feel before the matches does not matter. you know. That's very true. I have to learn to put that aside. Were you around the last time you were with me the last time I competed or no?
I'm not sure. I don't think, like, I think you competed either right before I got back to A-side or, like, right when I got there and I was competing that same day and we weren't, like buddy-buddy yet.
Yeah, yeah. So that whole day I just, like, it was like a box of nerves, which is, like, I don't know why I get more nervous for jiu-jitsu than any other sport I've played.
Yeah.
But I just have to, like, calm myself and, like, remember that how I feel before does not matter. How I feel in the moment is what matters. How I feel after is what matters. And then always reminding myself that the preparation leading up is all I need.
Mm, okay.
You know? But on the flip side, well, not on the flip side, but to add to that, you know, how you feel beforehand, like, how many times do you get the chance to actually test yourself and to see where you're at in this sport and what level you're, you know, training at, you know, what level you're rolling at? So I can totally see that as being one of the roadblocks or mental blocks into why you're so anxious beforehand.
Yeah, like, I've played football in front of 30, 40,000 people, and before the game it was pre-workout, and yeah, like we're good. Who
yeah,
cares?
Yeah.
Basketball, same thing. Who cares? This, I don't know why, I want to throw up.
That and, like, all eyes are on you on the mat, not just you and your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's no helmet.
Yeah, you can't hide your face.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. I don't really care that people are watching me. It's just, like, I care if I do good. And then I get, like, caught up in my head whether, like, I can win or not in the middle of competition.
Right.
And then that's usually what throws me off the most.
I don't know. I think it's weird because whenever, like, I don't know about you, but, like, leading up, nervous, nervous, nervous. As soon as I'm on the mat, it clicks over, and I just feel like a different person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why it's like that, but it's just something that I've always learned to, like, I just got to pocket that and put it to the side, figure out what that is later.
Yeah. No, I'm the exact same way. I haven't looked at, people keep asking me, like, how many guys in your bracket? I don't know. I don't look at the bracket until the week of when it comes out, which is, like, Thursday. Because if I don't, I'll just be anxious about it the whole time.
Yeah.
So I just wait until that day. I stress out about that day. I take it in. By Friday, Saturday, it's like you said, step on that mat and, like, it doesn't exist. I'm hoping it'll happen this time because I'm feeling really anxious this time because I'm like, man, I don't feel like I'm getting better, but I feel like I'm getting, like, I feel like I'm way better than I was my last competition, but I don't feel like I'm getting better. And I'm just always constantly worried about who else has gotten that incrementally better in that time frame.
What is it that makes you feel like you're not getting better?
I think right now I'm not playing my A game. That's always one of it. It's like I'm developing. I'm in that point in my training camp where I'm developing, like, my C and B game, trying to incorporate into my A game to when I know I go out there, I can execute it. I think that's really what it is. But we'll see. This next week kind of changes up my approach as far as tournament goes, is where now I am focusing on executing A game. Mm-hmm. So as long as I can execute A game for the next 2 weeks, then I'm good. My last third week, and kind of just take it, you know, not go through the motions, but, you know, drill, try to sharpen things up, maybe add one or two more things to the A game if I can. But it's more like make sure my body is ready. That's what I mean by take it easy. Like, yeah, make sure my body is ready.
Yeah.
I think part of that feeling could also be because, like, in your preparation for the tournament, you're with the same guys every day, you know? If you were able to do the same thing to them every day over and over again, multiple times a day, you should be worried for your teammates. Yeah. But that's obviously not the case. So I think that you feeling like you're not getting better, which probably isn't the case, is a good sign for your team moving forward. You know, that just kind of seems like everyone's cohesively growing.
Plus, there is, like, every opportunity, you know, in the middle of training to be humbled in some way, too, yeah, no matter who you're with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I get – it really depends on the headspace. If I end up, you know, getting humbled by a teenager, I'm like, oh, my God, I suck. But really, it's just, you know, they were just a step ahead of me, and that's okay. That's something you just kind of got to accept.
Yeah.
These teenagers are fucking freaks of nature, dude. I don't get it. But, well, I get it, but yeah. I'm just
jealous. Teenage girls, man, they're killers, dude.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
There's several, yeah.
Oh, there's more now?
Yeah, there's several more now.
Jeez.
Yep.
Right. Got a little army over there.
Yeah, taking out big dudes and stuff, you know.
You know, it's funny just because... You at some point in jiu-jitsu, you have to be humbled. Some big dudes come humbled. Some big dudes are never, like, really developed the ego. Like, I feel like the bigger men get, the less of an ego they have about getting beat up just because, I don't know. Like, I feel like that need to fight over little things is, like, a smaller guy thing. Like,
send them to me. I got it.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like big dudes always have the same personality as like me. Like, I'm lazy, dude. Like, I'm just trying to kick it. And then, like, you get the opposite where, like, it seems like the smaller the guy, the more he's like, let's fucking get this. Let's fucking go right now.
You know, there's a couple people that come to mind.
Jimmy.
From the training room. Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, dude. I love Jimmy to death, dude. Jimmy backs down from nothing, and he's usually the initiator at the gym.
I know, so, yeah.
And I'm just watching him like, bro, why are you telling me, like, oh, he stacked the fuck out of me. He looks like he'll stack the fuck out of you, Jimmy.
He looks like...
Oh, that's funny. You know, Jimmy reminds me of like Mighty Mouse, right? Like you're small, you're little, but you got a lot of punch in you. And don't underestimate you at all, because I'm gonna mess you up.
The funny thing is because he doesn't say it, but I know he takes pride because it's their gym. But yeah. Like, I feel like for the most part, Jimmy's the one who takes the front of it, you know?
Yeah.
Jimmy takes very much pride in, if you come in here and you roll with me, the leader of this gym, you're going to fucking feel it. You're going to fucking feel it.
You're going to feel me.
Yeah. And he takes this approach with men, women, and children. Men, women, and children.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody. I was watching him ankle lock like 13-year-old girls the other day, and then get up and be like, "Yeah." Yeah.
Nah, and those 13-year-old girls will ankle lock him back somehow.
No, some of them will get him. Like, yeah. He's a good teacher. Some of them get him, but I just think it's funny how, like, there's like a 9-year-old kid, and he's a little like heftier. Mm-hmm. And I'm chilling on the mat, and like they're doing open rolls, and he's like, "Devontae, get your big ass over here. I got a roll for you." So I'm like coming expecting adult. He lines me up with his 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm like, "What are you doing, Jimmy? Like, what are we doing? Don't take it easy on him."
You know, last time I was there, it was funny that little chunky kid. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Finally, someone my size." When he got to roll with DJ, he's like. DJ's size, but he's like, you know, maybe like 8 years old, so he's little.
The thing is, bro, looking at his parents, he will not be my size. It's like growth progression, you know what I mean? He's going to be tall, but I don't think he's going to be big like me. But this kid, honestly, he's going to be a problem, bro. He's going to be a problem because his dad was like, oh, this is his first sport. But it just seems like wrestling is a natural thing to him.
Okay.
Like, it just makes sense to him. And it's one of those things, if you ask him why he does it, he'll look at you and be like, well, wouldn't you have did the same? And most people, the answer is no. He's going to be a fucking problem.
Question for you, Lizzie. Mm-hmm. Now, have you been watching UFC?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on where we're at right now? Because I feel like we're in a transitional period. You're like my go-to MMA girl, so...
Well, UFC fight night last night was in Des Moines, Iowa. Shout out my hometown. That was, you know, that card specifically, like looking at it, you would think it was a sleeper card.
Okay.
But there were a lot of bangers last night.
Who, like, so I should have watched. I know it was Jack. Jack was supposed to fight somebody. I forgot now. just tell me.
Okay. No, that is slipping my mind right now, but I mostly tuned in for the main card. I was doing stuff for like the prelims and stuff. Yeah, the main card, the main fight was a banger. You had Corey Sanhagen out of Denver. Shout out Denver, too. against Figueredo. Oh. When I was looking at... I was texting one of my friends. I was like, why does Figgy look like a grown-ass man right now? Because when he was fighting at 125, I'm like, this guy looks like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you see him like thicker, and I think he's got a little gray in his beard now. Okay. And now I'm like, this guy looks like an actual man.
So sorry not to cut you off, but I had a dream the other night that I started getting gray hairs in my beard.
And you
I
was mean like, you don't have any?
Not yet. No, not yet. I was like, oh God, I'm starting to dream about getting old. I'm getting old.
Oh my God. But yeah, there are a lot of really, really good bangers, a lot of finishes last night. It does seem like we're in a transition period right now, and I want to kind of touch on the fact that there's nothing happening at heavyweight. John Jones has been holding out for, what, 2 years now? And he's been ducking
out. 9 months.
What?
9 months.
9 months, 2 years.
He fought 9 months ago.
No? Did he?
Yeah, he fought Stipe.
Stipe. I was thinking Cyril Gane. I didn't really think that. Okay, yeah. So he's been holding out, fighting his next fight against Tom Aspinall, who is the interim. And Tom's like, I'm ready to go whenever. And it just seems so unfair to hold up Tom's career for, for the sake of ego or whatever the hell is going on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You're a resident John Jones boy, so go ahead.
Look, I am not a John Jones boy. I respect talent when I see talent.
Right.
Is he a piece of shit? Yes.
Yes.
Is he holding up the heavyweight division?
Also, yes.
Yeah. But I get it. He's at the end of his career. He's trying to get paid. No one else's fault but his, but he's had a lot of fucking suspensions. He has to make that money somewhere. He's not a marketable person.
Suspensions and arrests.
So he's trying to squeeze the UFC for money.
Which rightfully so, like get your bag.
Yeah,
squeeze the UFC for whatever money you need at this point in your life.
But I also believe that Tom Aspinall is trying to rush himself into an ass whooping.
I don't think so. I think Tom has proven himself against, some of the biggest contenders, like Sergey, where he knocked out Sergey, and coming back against Curtis Blaydes for that second fight after that freak accident of a fight that he had.
Yeah.
But I think he has very well proven himself to be one of the top fighters at this point. So there's no reason why he shouldn't maybe take on another fight to see what's up, or the UFC gives more money on the line.
I don't think Aspinall should take another fight because he is risking a lot if he loses.
That's true. He is the interim guy.
But I don't know. Like when I look at MMA, because I say this as like someone who is envious of like martial artists. I do Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu, super trash at Muay Thai. But John Jones, just watching how he strikes compared to how everyone else in the UFC history has struck, watching his defense compared to everyone else, and he's the most complete fighter.
Yes, definitely like, agree with that.
And it's hard. And then his wrestling is out of this world. His Jiu-Jitsu is really fucking good. So it's hard for, and then like just his resume of people that he's taken out, all legends beat in their prime. So it's hard for me to look at Aspinall's game and think, yeah, this is the guy that's going to beat John Jones.
Yeah.
Anything's possible, but watching John Jones after the Stipe fight, and like, sure, Stipe was old, but the movement, the fluidity, the fact that he's 6'5", 250, throwing spinning back kicks,
shit
was kind of like.
So, all right. I will say, I first have to say this. When it comes to John Jones, I did not give him the credit he deserves, mainly because I did not watch any of his fights. So I've gone back and been watching his fights now, and boy's on point. That's all I can say. And I see why people throw him up there as greatest of all time. I still think the GOAT would have to be Mighty Mouse. That's just my opinion. Because I feel like Mighty Mouse at 6 foot, 180 would do some. He would be up there. They would be talking about him for sure.
I think he'd be the GOAT.
Yeah.
6 foot, 180, Mighty Mouse?
Probably.
But when it comes to John Jones, I really don't see too many flaws in his game. Not that I'm an expert or anything like that. The biggest thing with him facing Tom Aspinall, I would have to say, is probably like, can Tom last five rounds? We know John Jones can. And that's kind of the biggest thing. It's like, Tom has it. He has the juice. And I think like, who was it just lost their belt? I did not think Alex Pereira was going to lose his belt.
Ankalaev.
And that was what?
I'm just heartbroken by it. It was a good fight. Ankalaev won, but
yeah,
I know.
No, I agree. And then so It's just a whether or not Tom can last those five rounds. That's mm-hmm. what it comes down to.
Don't get me wrong. I think Tom is probably the closest to beating John Jones, but like whenever you watch bad, like I saw the Nuggets beating the Clippers. So I was like, it's going to happen. The Clippers aren't that good. Like I could see the Cavs upsetting the Celtics or beating the Celtics, like vice versa, or even the Knicks beating the Celtics. I just can't like close my eyes and visualize anybody in the UFC taking out John Jones. Does that mean it can't happen? No. Is Tom Aspinall probably the closest? Yeah, but
I mean, if you looked at it in the past, what we had Dominic Reyes being one of the closest to like beating John Jones back when they were fighting.
And you know what's crazy? He put everything into that fight.
Yeah.
And he's just never been the same since. He's just never been the same
since. I don't know. I think his fire is coming back.
I hope so, because some of those knockouts he endured afterwards were kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Like, hard to watch. Yuri's knockout
was fucked up. Jan, the one he got knocked out to Jan, was like, I remember they were in the Apex. There was no sound, like no crowd sound. And the sound of his fist connecting with him was disgusting.
Oh, God. I don't miss those days, but at the same time, I do. Like hearing everything happen in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up the women's, though.
Okay.
This talk of Amanda Nunes coming back, and she, like, kind of, sort of confirmed it. Why? Just stay retired.
Yeah.
There is so much shit talk with Pena and Harrison right now. Like, you know, let your fighting do the talking. Like, you know, there's no reason to sit here and shit talk other people. Yes, it's great for TV. Awesome. Do you? But why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I agree with you. I didn't know they were talking about Amanda Nunes coming back. But
yeah, she kind of sort of confirmed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's only going to happen if Harrison wins.
Probably, because what does Nunes have to gain to fight Pena for like the 1,100th time?
Yeah. And not only that, I think Pena lost that last fight she was in. I think she lost, personally.
Mm-hmm. To Raquel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like when she won the belt and then lost to Nunes, right? Is that what happened?
What?
Pena?
She won it and then lost it again.
And it was very clear in that second fight, I believe, with Pena and Nunes that, like, Amanda did her thing. Like,
yeah.
So there's no reason for her to come back to the division. There's no other, there's only two top dogs there. It's kind of like the heavyweight division almost.
Yeah. And I mean, Nunez, she's the GOAT. Give her, you know, her flowers, of course, but stay retired. Enjoy your family. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have nothing to prove at this point besides the haters.
Exactly.
And like, you know, let the haters hate.
There's a different woman I want to come out of retirement because I felt like she had the potential.
Don't you dare say Ronda Rousey.
No. she disrespected my home state, and you can't disrespect New Mexico if you're not from New Mexico.
Who was it?
What happened?
I said, who's the...
Oh, when Ronda Rousey was like, I'm going to beat, I need to remember her name. This
Holly?
Is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, Holly.
I'm going to beat Holly home and send her back to her little podunk state.
Oh, my God.
And, but what people don't realize about New Mexico is there's nothing to do. All we do is fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's like, you can find
she wrong? Is New Mexico a podunk state? I'm from Indiana, which is a podunk state.
Yeah, yeah, so but you very can't clear. Not be from there.
My brother lives in New Mexico right now, Carlsbad, and he's like, he's like, ain't shit here to do, but people are fighting and working in the oil fields.
That's it. That's all we do. That's all we do. So I didn't really appreciate that, but no.
I know, that kind of, I'm like, okay, that's a little personal.
Yeah, like I would never like talk crap about Iowa or Indiana or like all these states have that and there's not much to do there, but I'm not from there. I can't comment. But no, Megan Anderson.
Okay.
First off, you're American. You can comment on any state that you want. You have a right.
That's why when we leave the country, they hate us, dude.
I said the states, not other countries. Listen,
we could be deported for any reason right now.
They're wilding.
They're wilding, yeah.
But no, I thought Megan Anderson had like a good game to her, and she just unfortunately made her rise when Amanda Nunes was there, which is kind of...
Oh, I was in love with her.
Who, oh, Megan God. Anderson? Yeah. Fucking same, dude.
Yeah. All right, fine, same. But yeah, I agree with that. She, you know, that last fight, she really didn't look like she wanted to be there with Nunes. But, you know, now in the context of like Nunes wanting, kind of confirming her return potentially back to fighting, I'm like, you know, just Stay retired. You have nothing left to prove.
I agree. Yeah.
And I hate goats. I hate seeing goats unretire and then just be, because someone is coming.
AKA Tom Brady.
Again?
So no. Tom Brady didn't do it as bad. But right. Like when you think of Michael Jordan and purposely block out the Wizards' ears. You know what I mean?
Like,
is there any other way to think about Michael Jordan?
No. Like, but the thing is, he wasn't that bad on the Wizards. He just wasn't Jordan.
It wasn't what we were
used to seeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't want to see a man come back.
There was someone that was coming back that I fucking forgot. Never mind. I know what it was. You know who's doing, speaking of people who are retired and goats, we talked about Mighty Mouse earlier. Mm-hmm. Did you see that he's training Death Sentence?
Yes.
The guy from the Street Beefs? Do you know about this?
No, I don't. What happened?
Oh, my God. So there's this, like, when I first saw this guy, he's like, I am Death Sentence. And he wears, like, a Naruto headband.
Oh.
And it, like, I was like, okay, this dude is crazy. But now, like, that I've watched these videos with him, I was like, oh, he's on the spectrum. And he really believes this stuff. And I'm like, oh, shout out to him. And I think it's dope that Mighty Mouse, one of the greatest fighters of all time, is training someone who arguably probably would have a shot at ever learning martial arts on this level.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, awesome.
Yeah.
That's great for him. You know, do something in retirement. Good for him.
I'm not going to lie. When he fucking told him to shadow box and he started breaking out the Batman Arkham video game, like fighting moves, I died a little inside. And like, I laughed so hard, I felt bad about it. But he was dead ass. He was like throwing spinning, like low kicks and like crazy shit.
I feel like I got to try to find this while you talk. Keep talking.
I mean, to be fair, that's how some people learn.
Look from Batman. He's like, this is my training regimen. I wake up, I play Batman Arkham for like 45 minutes, and then I practice certain moves throughout the day.
Is that the equivalent of like learning how to drive by playing GTA for 45 minutes?
Probably.
All right. So this is Death Sentence. That's you know how he's fighting, and I'm not like I'm not trying to hate on him or anything.
Right. Okay.
To clarify, but it's, you know, that's why I'm happy that someone like Mighty Mouse is coaching him and training him, because I hate to see people who are thoroughly confident with themselves, mm-hmm. and they fail at it, right? Over sure. and over again. And all they need is a good coach to come in and train them and help them see the future, if that sure. makes sense.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah.
So Death Sentence is the epitome of something you were talking about earlier, with the delusion and the confidence thing. Because there was a point where, like, you know how those reality TV shows do it, where they interview the person and then show the results after? Yeah. They did that to him, and he was like, we're in the gym with Mighty Mouse. I'm not going to let him bitch me. I'm not going to let him, you know. And then when it goes to show him to try and lift the weights, and he goes with full confidence, and it doesn't budge. He just doesn't budge. But the determination of him is he gets on the bench, and he turns himself all the way sideways and, like, leans back and does it with two hands. But it's one of those, like, chest press machines.
I guess that works.
Delusional confidence. You know, we all need it. I could use some myself right now.
The thing is, though, he's not an old guy.
Yeah. Was he 22, 23?
Maybe.
I
don't know.
I'm not sure how old he is, but, like, obviously the love and determination is there.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, like, we're going to look back and talk like, oh, remember when he used to fight like this?
And he's got the belt.
And he could be a completely different dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, I think that's the benefit of, like, having a good coach out there. It's like, mm-hmm. they can take someone from nothing to something. And I like that. It's like heartwarming to me to hear that kind of story, if that makes sense.
That, and like, he's giving back to the community.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I love seeing people that have, you know, risen to fame at, you know, doing what they do at the level that they do it, and then like giving back. Like, that's my dream too.
Yeah
That's funny. That's one reason Mighty Mouse is like my favorite, like, champion, just because after a while fighting became like whatever, and now like whenever they show that video of him when he won the belt and he was just kind of like, Thanks to my opponent. And then when he beat Elden Ring and he's just like throwing shit off of his desk, he's all excited.
I would throw shit around too if I beat Zelda the same way.
God, are you still playing?
Yeah.
Have you beat it yet?
I beat the Breath of the Wild, but I got Tears of the Kingdom sometime last summer. So no, I have not, because that game is like massive. There are so many levels to everything.
Okay.
So I play that one, you know, just to wind down and whatnot.
I'm jealous.
I jumped into it and like have never having played a Zelda game, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You gotta keep playing and get better at it.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, it's just one of those games where just let your ADHD take over and you will, you know, figure out shit as you keep playing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you talking about when I lent it to you on your trip? Is that when you played it?
I played it and then I ended up buying it for a bit.
Okay.
And then I just never beat it, and then it was Lauren's Switch. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, now it's gone.
Well, I'm stuck on the magma world of the first one, whatever one that one is.
Magma world.
Like where you have to go talk to the Gorgons up in the
lava pits in the mountains. And stuff. Okay, yeah.
Like I'm like on the third or fourth beast, but like I'm stuck. I don't know where I'm
YouTube.
Going. I'm running in circles. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, YouTube it. Sure. You'll that's a good guide.
I don't have time. But I will when I finally take a vacation or something. We just signed our lease. Yay.
Yay.
So now it's like official. Like we're already living up there, but it's like official that we're up there now.
Good. Like, you're committed.
Committed. Mm-hmm. Like no more Airbnbs. Like we got one year. Ugh. I hate it. But I'm going to have to get you guys to come up and visit.
I would love to.
There's
a
hike up there I want to do.
What hike?
I don't know, but it's like along the coast, and you like if you look out, you can see the ocean, and then to the like as you're hiking up like a mountain.
Okay.
And I'll send it to you. I forgot what it's called, but I know I have it saved.
Okay. Well, if you want an easy hike, I have one kind of like that. It's very easy.
It might be the one I'm talking about. It's like really popular. Like it doesn't look too super hard. There's just like a lot of like cool views.
No, it's more like private, so to say. Like it's in like a private neighborhood. I don't know. Whatever. It's more private. It doesn't seem like it's like a tourist attraction. Okay. And you kind of have to like go off a beaten path to even get there.
Okay.
But like when you get there, it's like. This whole area is like jungle, and there's like all these paths carved through, and they go all over the place. They go up the sand dunes. It's really cool.
Now give me the hard hikes. The Colorado girly. And
you
me,
like
Lisa.
Everything like tough. Like, you're
No. Have you ever been to Colorado, dude?
I like when I was like 13.
No, like so that's like the hiking capital of America. So like if you're talking to someone from Colorado and like, yeah, I have this really hard hike, shit better be fucking hard.
10 miles, 2,000 feet of elevation gain. That's my jam.
No, that's ridiculous. My lady's on a hike right now as we speak. Nice. And she said it's gonna be 16 miles, and I was like, no, kill me.
No, I have a hard limit of 10 miles and nothing more.
Okay.
Yeah, but now I think, you know, the longer I've been living away from Colorado, I'm like, yeah, I can cap it at 5 these days.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm only doing that 10 miles if that shit's in a full circle to my
exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it's totally worth it if at, like, the end point, you know, if you're summiting a mountain and you have, like, incredible views of everything, or if you make it up to a waterfall or an alpine lake. Like alpine lakes were personally my favorite ones in Colorado. Mm. So getting up there, I have my dog with me. You know, she's just splashing around doing what she does. You know, take a snack break.
Okay.
Yeah. But then like the last mile or so, the last couple miles are always the hardest for me because that's when my feet hurt. I'm angry. I'm starting to get tired. And I'm like, I'm over this hike. Airlift me down now.
I'm starting to get angry. I felt that.
You know the perfect hike is here in LA is Fryman Canyon.
Yeah.
That's like the perfect hike. Like it's what, 20 minutes total?
Oh.
Like 20, 30 minutes total. And like it's a big circle. I love it. It's my favorite hike here.
I live close to Runyon, so that's been my spot.
Have you hiked the whole canyon?
Yeah. Yeah. I have.
Well, okay. Then.
Yeah, she's a Colorado girly.
Yeah.
She did that shit in the first month.
Me and my dog are Colorado girlies. Like, we got this.
Okay. Yeah, that's not my vibe.
Yeah.
You get 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back, and I'm ready to take a nap.
I used to, but whenever I moved here, my hobbies changed. Like in New Mexico, I would have went for a hike. Now I'm like, hike? What are we talking about?
Yeah, you a city boy now. You ain't a country boy no more.
What do you mean? There's hiking spots all over LA.
but I'm not trying to do it.
That's true. You got to fight the traffic.
I was just going to say, you got to go through a hike of traffic just to get there.
No, literally.
I'm telling. Especially like where I live now.
No, you got some good ones in like Pasadena area.
No. Like I know there's hiking out there, but like you like mentioning the traffic, like where I live now, bro.
Look, no.
Someone's like, hey man, you want to come grab a drink and what else? Just a, no. No.
It cost me $50 to leave the house.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like the dad from Everybody Hates Chris. Like that's $13.50 of gas, dude.
Literally it's $13.50 of gas here. What is it? Gas is like $4.50 in some areas now.
I got it for two.
I was about to be like, don't say where it is on the mic. We'll talk about it off camera.
No, I got it for like $4.19.
Okay, yeah, that's about average. I was in Utah several weeks ago, and I was like, oh, my God, gas is so cheap here. And it's like $3-something. Oh. I say that everywhere I go because I'm like, oh, my God, gas is so cheap. I saw it for $5.
I was talking to Archie. He said gas is like $2-something right now in New Mexico.
Yep.
It's always very interesting, like, how right before the whole political election stuff, the gas goes up, and then once a new president gets in, gas kind of stays consistent for like until the end of their three terms, and then it goes up really high again.
Not in California, it stays high.
I mean,
everything's high out here.
I feel like $4.50 is like average, and yeah. I feel like it's been like that at least since like February.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I could be wrong, but I do drive a lot, so that's, I'm always...
I do too, but we just have an inflated sense of wage and prices here.
Yeah,
that's nobody else in the country, like, experiences.
You don't think New York?
I'm sure New York is.
Okay. I think New York is probably slightly worse.
Or Hawaii, too. I know Hawaii is definitely bad.
San Fran, they charge you 25 cents for your bags. Instead of 10 cents, yeah. They charge you 25 cents up there.
So bring your own bags.
Crazy. Well, I started to because I paid a quarter for a bag.
Pay a whole dollar or something just to bring home your groceries. That shit will add up.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. I'd be in the self-checkout stealing bags. They'd be like, do you want a bag? I'm like, nope.
Bye.
And if they stop me for bags, I'm like, oh, here's your dollar.
What is it, like 10 cents here?
I've been stealing bags for 2 years. I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah, I can't do that, man. I just don't want to get caught up on a case, you know?
For some bags?
Man, you know, they be trying to, like you said, they be tripping these days. You know. What we get caught up on.
I know.
If they're going to stop me for some bags while the homeless dude is sneaking out with a steak under his shirt.
I'm just not trying to end up in El Salvador. I'm not trying to.
Have some Photoshop tattoos on your hands. Bro. Like, nah, this guy's MS-13. Look at him.
I got one tattoo. They'll make that into something, right?
Right. Hello Kitty. They'll make it into something.
Speaking of going to jail in a different country, did you hear about that fucking YouTube streamer that just got, that was in the Philippines, I believe, acting like just doing pranks on people?
Yes.
And
yes.
Now he's like facing 24 years and they're like, you won't even get to trial for 2 to 3 years. And he's just in a gnarly fucking prison.
Pranks on people.
Well, he wasn't taking it. See, like, I don't do pranks on people.
Right.
I don't do anything I'm not supposed to out of the country. I would have paid my 10 cents for the bags.
Right.
But now they're saying, like, he's not even going to reach trial for 2 to 3 years, and then he's facing 24. And, like, he's just not taking it seriously. He's on camera smiling, smirking, like, making hand gestures at the judge.
Nah. Yikes.
And he's not even going to last those 2 to 3 years. Like, you know, those other like a lot of countries take like the like prisoners take pride in their country too, you know. They're going to kill him.
I'll pray that he doesn't get killed, I guess.
Yeah.
Take that shit seriously. Man, that was my first curse word. Dang it, I've been doing a good job.
I feel like a bad influence now because I've just been up
Sorry.
Here.
Sorry. Y'all move how y'all move. I'm just trying to do me for me. You know what I mean? Like, trying to be a better human.
I was about to be like, good, because I'm not going to stop cussing. Ever.
No. You know, the worst is like when you catch yourself in front of a kid or something. It's like, you know, the kids are coming in, middle of kid class or something. You're like, oh, I messed up.
So that, I'm not going to lie, at Misfits, when the kids are there, I'm down in the gym or I'm in my car. You know, I don't.
My niece and nephew have heard it all.
We are at that time where we should probably wrap up. Is there anything we want to talk about before we go?
No, it's good to sit here with you guys again.
Yeah, it's been good to be here. I feel like it's been a while.
It has. I hate that I don't have an actual location for us like I used to every week. And like, shout out to Coach Alex again for giving me a little small home when I'm in town. So yeah, it has been a while. We got to make it. We should get Thai food. Who's up for Thai? It's like 7 in the morning. Never mind.
Hold on.
I got work after this. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You said you was working.
Yeah. Well, I just got a second job just because I want more money. Yeah.
Man, get that bag, bro. Get that bag. Mm-hmm. It's expensive out here. All right. DJ.
Oh, man. It's been a while. So thank you for joining us. Like, comment, subscribe. Lizzie, it was fucking good seeing you again. It was good seeing you again, Jay. Yeah. And if you want to smoke and you got anything to say, hit up Lizzie at A5.
Pull up.
Hit up Jay at Forge or hit me up at Misfits. I'm back and I do not mind holding you in side control for 6 minutes
under side control. That's my nightmare.
That's after the first, like the first two rounds, I got you with the flashy shit. If you don't catch me after that, it's side control 6 minutes.
I need to send you this video where this guy is like, you know, literally under pressure and it's this guy's belly on another guy's face. I'll show it to you right after this because somebody sent that to me the other day. I'm like, God, if that was me, I would like start bawling. That's don't you, mothers milk me.
That's how you keep the neck turned.
Yo, I do need to be very clear. If you hit me up at Forge, you have to communicate with me because I do not live in LA. I travel down here and I travel back up. So I am not here all the time. So communicate with me.
Well, not only that, smoke. Not
pull
only
up,
that.
But let me
come
know.
Come in here acting wild at Forge if you fucking want to, dude. If you fucking want to. That's on you.
Yeah. There's the room is deep and good luck. That's all I'll say. With that said, y'all stay blessed. Thanks for tapping in.
Bye.